I guess the dauber was up today, huh? That's good. No, I think, you know, I've been excited and pleased that the guy that we first knew around here when I came here has been back, and he's kind of let some of the other things that were probably distracting him kind of go by the wayside, so which is a good thing. He's a guy who got a rare opportunity to make it here in the NFL from where he started, and he was really taking full advantage of that, and then kind of got sideways, and so I'm glad to see that he's really worked hard, both physically and mentally, and to regain where he was, and you know, and now you got to have the success as a football team, or else no one really cares what you do.
Did you have to have some heart-to-hearts to get him going in this direction?
Well, we've had a lot of heart-to-hearts, but you know, until someone really is ready to accept what you're saying, it really doesn't matter for much. So, but we spend a lot of time, and you know, just because I think ultimately you want to see the best for him at the end of the line.
When did that turn around, Marvin?
Well, I don't know. It just kind of turned around at some point here in May. And, you know, he was in California and working out, and we had a talk on the phone, and the next thing you know, he was standing in my office 3 days later. So, you know, I don't know what turned it or whatever, but it turned, and it was a good thing, and he's not looked back since.
He was saying that he works harder than most guys in the league. Is that a pretty fair statement?
I think he works very hard. I think it's hard to judge who works harder. But I do know he does work hard. He was disappointed in his season last year, both as a football team and himself individually. And so he's trained very hard. He always was a very hard trainer. And because of his shoulder injury and ankle injury and some things that he had last year occur, he didn't have the same effect. And so he said he had to go back and reconstitute himself, and it's been good.
Will you discourage him from his plan of doing a Lambeau leap if he scores a touchdown?
Well, there's no reason for him to worry about doing the Lambeau leap, because unfortunately every time he talks about what he's going to do, he gets no opportunity to do. So it's better, as they say, let's under-promise and overproduce.
Marvin, his whole Twitter thing, have you had to, or with any of your guys that do that, have you had to kind of give them some guidelines there?
Yeah, we really have, and so we monitor it and everything, and I think our guys have been really good with it. I don't think they quite understood the ramifications of it, the fact that basically every time they tweeted or whatever that's called, that they were doing a public interview. So make sure that you would, as you do that, that you're, what you're saying, you would say in any open locker room or open news conference forum, and be careful what you say. So I think it was a new, you know, it's obviously a new age, and so, you know, I don't understand the need to tell somebody that I just went over here or over there, but yes, these guys have that, and you know, and unfortunately, it's scary to see the people that care about that. So
I don't get it either, but.
Marvin, take me back to Pitt in 90 and 91. What was your relationship like with Mike?
It was great. Mike was, you talk about hardworking. Now, he could proclaim being a hardworking guy. He and Sean Slocum, they can put their hands up and say they were hardworking people. So, you know, I would tap them on the head, and Coach Capers and Kevin Green as a player. So, unfortunately, I know too many of the people over there too well. But Mike was just, extremely hard worker, very thorough. Everything that he was asked to do was done at the utmost. And, spotless, sparkling. And, just worked his tail off, and Sean was the same way, basically. I think that's probably why they still have the same bond they have today.
You guys were obviously at the beginning of your careers, but did you guys ever talk about someday, you know, coaching against each other as NFL head coaches?
No, I don't think I ever really even thought about that at that standpoint. You know, I think Mike's biggest eyes are my son and his daughter were born right around the same time. I think 2 or 3 weeks from around each other, and but other than that, no, I didn't, you know, thought much about that. Shoot, we were just trying to win a football game.
What was the end of last week's game like for you? Was, you know, all you coaches put in all those long days, and just to see a win go down on a play like that, you know, what's the feeling?
Well, it was a disappointing feeling. I have no doubt about it. And and but one that you better learn from it and make sure that no matter what, and it'll obviously be different circumstances next time around, you get in those situations that we do a better job of the entire thing. And because our guys did, it was a tough football game, a hot day, and we hung around, we were able to drive the ball down, then go ahead for the winning score, and then to allow a two-play 80-yard drive, you can't have happened. And so those things are disappointing. We'll learn from it. We'll be better from it. And but you know what? I tell them all the time, it's a 60-minute game, and we better play all 60 minutes of it.
What could you guys have done differently on that? I mean, the defensive line.
We have some other guys on the field that got to go over and knock the ball down and get over the top. Brandon Stokely outworked some of our other guys, and Stoke made a good play, and just the kind of the football player that he is. And unfortunately, we had some guys who kind of thought the game was over, obviously, on the backside of it, and didn't get over the top. But Leon Hall did everything he could the right way. Our front side guys did a great job, and but, you know, there's a lot of guys out there on football, so you got to make sure everybody gets there and does it right.
Do you coach, Hall on a technique to knock it down rather than, tip it up?
No, you want to intercept the football. I mean, there's, you want to intercept in that situation. It wasn't a last play situation. You want to intercept the football. It was second down. So you want to intercept the football if all possible. And unfortunately, it went off Leon's hand. Leon didn't do anything wrong. And, he's a fine player for us, and he'll make a lot of football plays. And, we are, as coaches, we're very, we felt Leon did just what he was supposed to do.
Marvin, obviously you don't want to lose it all, but when you lose close games like that, what's the challenge as a coach the following week to make sure that there's no, hangover effect?
I don't think there is a hangover. I've never experienced a hangover from that. So that would be guys who don't expect to win. So, I don't think there's any residual of the fact that we didn't win. I better lose that way to get my head kicked in. So, physically we'll be ready to go, and we've got a great challenge coming to Lambeau and playing against their football team.
You're missing so much time, Marvin. Has Carson kind of just got to work his way back into getting the rhythm and getting the whole flow of the offense going again?
Well, he does. He did a lot of good things, and some things that he really has grown and matured in the football game, and just got to keep building upon those. And he probably had one or two inaccurate throws. It's unlike him that you never really see him ever do. But I would expect to go away and so forth, and then get back and play the way we know he can play all the time.
Does facing those 3-4 defenses all the time for you, does that help prepare for this one?
Pardon me?
Does facing 3-4 defenses all the time with the Steelers and the Ravens and those guys?
Yeah, it's something we have to do in our division, and so we're comfortable, making that transition. And we spent quite a bit of time this year in training camp because of that. We play 11 3-4 defenses, and I think our first 8 weeks are about like that. So. So we're comfortable with it, our offensive players and so forth. So it's something that we have to do.
Marvin, from a viewer's perspective, you turned my wife into a big Marvin Lewis fan with Hard Knocks. What was the experience like for you, though?
Well, it really wasn't much. I think we didn't have to do much different. As I told people when I told them that we would do it, those people from NFL Films worked their tails off, and they're following somebody or a group of people from sunup through sundown every day. And our guys and our coaches and players were just, doing training camp and trying to make this football team better. Guys trying to earn jobs, guys trying to earn more opportunity, and coaches trying to coach them up. So from that standpoint, it really is not that bad, other than, coach, can we put a mic on you when you're walking into a meeting or going out onto the practice field? Now, some of the cameras in the offices and things like that, it takes a little bit to get used to. And it would be kind of funny when people would come into my office and so forth, and I would say, just wait to the camera now. And they didn't believe that, basically they were being monitored all the time. But other than that was really the only intrusive thing. And I think they do a good job and work hard. And I think our players got an appreciation for that. And basically were able, after a couple of days, to not even realize that the cameras were there as much as they really were.
So you were okay with, the times like after the one game where you reamed the guys out pretty good, or maybe the times when guys are getting cut, those kind of tough times being on
the field? Well, there's tough times, and that's part of the show, particularly the unfortunately, the waving player part of the show is really part of the story that they want to tell. That you know, fans have the idea that because the guy's on the team, he's here forever, and we know that this is a one-week-by-one-week job. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't keep them all. And guys really, you know, pour their heart and soul out into making the football team and making the football team better. But unfortunately, you can't keep them all. And, no, I don't like some of the locker room things because my wife doesn't appreciate some of my language. So, but I try to improve upon that.
If Mike asked you if he should do it, would you tell him he should?
Well, I was asked by another NFL coach about it, and I said, you know, it's up to you. You have to gauge your football team. Can the guys deal with that? You know, can they deal with, you know, the fact that, you know, they may want to, there becomes a storyline about one player, not another player. And that's the only thing. That's really the only negative. And, you know, but I think we were mature enough to handle it. I think it's a good thing. We're a pretty small market here in Cincinnati. Gave an opportunity both for, I think, Bengal fans and NFL fans across the country to see an inside look at an NFL team.
How's Malavuga playing for you?
You know, Ray is doing a good job. He's like any rookie. He's learning as he goes. He came here as a very well-coached rookie, young player. About as well-coached a guy I've ever been around as a young linebacker in the NFL. So I'm pleased. He spends a lot of time here with me, and I like that about him. You know, he wants to be the best ever, and he makes no bones to talk about that. So he's here on Tuesday. He's here every chance he can be. We spend a lot of time in here watching tape because I don't get to coach much anymore. So I enjoy getting an opportunity to coach him and just help him learn, teach him how to watch tape, teach him how to analyze what's occurring on the other side of the football. So that it's been refreshing for me to have a guy who really is really wants to be very, very good.
Marvin, how's your offensive line shaping up this year?
Well, we've been, you know, I want to say not pleased or overly pleased or, you know, I don't know where we're going. We're a work in progress. We've got five new guys playing together, and I think we're anxious for them to get out there again and get playing together again, get practicing together, and I think that's the important part of playing offensive line. And so I like our attitude. I like our makeup of people and what they stand for, and we just got to keep improving on how we play.
If I'm not mistaken, you've got a couple of undrafted guys and then a couple of higher picks. What's your philosophy when putting together, you know, linemen as far as, you know, where you take them in the draft?
Well, I think, you know, predominantly, obviously, your tackles are generally going to be guys that are picked in the higher part of the draft. Most starting tackles in the league are picked in the first two rounds, and it's a rare guy that can play, that plays real, very successfully at tackle that's not. I think a lot of your interior linemen can be picked in other spots, and because you don't want to, you know, it's difficult to spend too much cap space, I think, on your interior linemen. I think the center is an important part. We feel very blessed with the guy that we have this year, and that's those in Cincinnati, a lot of talk. Well, we've been grooming this guy, and this is the guy that we had our sights set on, and unfortunately last year he got hurt. So we feel good where we are there. You know, we just got to keep working, and those guys working together. The offensive line plays like a, you know, that whole hand and glove theory. It's all five digits working together inside that glove.
What are your thoughts on Rodgers and this Packers offense and the challenges they may pose on Sunday?
Well, they pose a lot of challenges. It's a very talented group. And Aaron Rodgers, we got to see him last year when he was being given the starting job in the preseason, and all he's done is get better, gotten better and better and better. And he's got a very strong arm, a very quick release. He can throw the ball a country mile. When he leaves the pocket, he has great foot speed. You know, Mike, they do things that he's comfortable doing. And I could tell that last year in the preseason when he played the Packers, you know, they've brought him along the right way. And obviously, you know, they kind of handpicked him for that job. And, you know, and they do things that he likes to do. And I think the receiving corps is outstanding. Ryan Grant's a great back. They've got great blockers at fullback. They've got some athletic, talented tight ends. So it's a really talented offense.
Do you see a difference in him from what you've seen this year compared to last year in that preseason game?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously he's matured a lot since then, but I still see the same, you know, the same ability and talent, obviously, but a guy more sure of himself now.
Marvin, the last time we saw you in the regular season was in 05 in Cincinnati. Is that still the weirdest thing you've seen as a coach at the end of a game?
I would take that one compared to what I saw last Sunday.